The American Embassy is warning Americans to get out. There's a threat that perhaps if you have dual citizenship, that you may end up being drafted, conscripted into Putin's army and headed back to Ukraine. We've also got NATO now saying that the Nord Stream pipeline leak was an act of sabotage. Is Russia implicated? If they are, what should our response be? We've got Putin threatening to annex four Ukraine regions after those sham votes yesterday. And, of course, we have the nuclear saber rattling that Vladimir Putin has been doing at all of his worst, sending more aid to Ukraine. A good time to check in with Steve Biegun, former U.S. Deputy Secretary of State under Mike Pompeo. Steve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Guy.
You've been intently listening not just to the protesters in the street and the mainstream Muscovites, but also to Putin supporters who seem to be growing in anger as well, but for different reasons. Tell me what you think of that and how we should read it.
Yeah, so Putin, Vladimir Putin has kept his kind of liberal-minded opposition under his thumb for a very long time. Most of the leaders have either been killed or jailed, and he's really prevented any significant opposition from forming in his country. But what really worries the Kremlin is it's his supporters now that are starting to complain about the course of the war. Of course, their complaints are that he's not being brutal enough and that he's not using all the tools in Russia's arsenal. But still, this has worried the Kremlin, and it's forced Putin to take a step he was long trying to avoid.
So when you look at this and you read this domestic discontent, whether it's from angry oligarchs or from folks on Main Street, is it enough to threaten his grip on power? In your most recent op-ed in the Detroit News, and I urge everybody to read it, you say he may be on his last legs. Please explain.
Yeah, so he's run out of room. And you know, Putin has long ruled, more than 20 years he's ruled that country, by offering a basic bargain to his citizens that they stay out of politics, he runs the country, and in exchange they get a decent life. And for a period of time he provided that to them. But in the last week, he's taken a step which has really brought the severity of the war of Ukraine right to every kitchen table. He's launched a draft, a conscription drive, reportedly only people who were reservists, but it's clear that he's casting that much wider than that. And now he's seeing protests on the streets of Russia from both the right and the left.
How worried should we be for Americans in Russia? That was an alarming warning the embassy sent out.
Yeah, well, I don't think it makes any sense as an American citizen to be in Russia at this point anyway. I certainly wouldn't travel there at this point. But the particular risk is to people with dual citizenship. They might have been born in Russia, moved to the States for a while, took U.S. citizenship, but kept both. And that's a real perilous situation in Russia today, in part because Russia will not recognize those people as American citizens, yeah. And so they need to get out.
When you look at what's happened with the Nord Stream pipeline, two major leaks, NATO saying based on their investigation and intelligence sources, they believe this was sabotage. Who are the likeliest suspects, and what should our response be?
Well, it's pretty clear it was sabotage. These are two pipelines that are miles apart from each other, and both ruptured around the same 24-hour period. There's only one source of this potential sabotage, and that's Russia. Nobody else has any interest in doing it. It's an environmental catastrophe. It's not going to cost the West any money, except that European countries are going to have to figure out how to shut this off. And right now, just gas is boiling out of the ocean in the middle of the Baltic Sea.
But from a diplomatic standpoint, if Russia is implicated, how do you respond to that? That is environmental terrorism.
It is. It's in international waters, so they didn't violate anybody's territory, and there's really no kind of global rules or norms against environmental terrorism. But that's exactly what it is. You know, kind of is mindful of when Saddam Hussein blew up all of his own oil fields at the end of the Iraq War in the early 1990s. Yeah. This is a self-defeating act by Putin and just further demonstration of how unstable he is.
We're watching gasoline prices edge back up, no doubt due to the hurricane, which has shut down some domestic production. But this Nord Stream pipeline issue, How destabilizing to markets could that be, or at least the threat that it was some kind of energy terrorism?
Yeah, so you know, the Europeans are particularly sensitive to this natural gas, which they were buying in huge volumes from Russia before the war. And Putin's basically sending a signal to them that basically two messages. First is that it's kind of like the Vikings burning their ships when they get to shore. He's not going back. He's cutting off his economy from Europe as well. But the second is that infrastructure is vulnerable. And I think there's a lot of worry in Europe today that pipelines elsewhere in Europe could be a target too, just at a point in which they're going to need that natural gas to heat their homes and run their factories during the winter.
And obviously this is a global market, so that kind of disruption can have pretty big ripples.
It will. And this gas, you know, technically this gas wasn't flowing into the market at this point anyway. Mm-hmm. Nord Stream 2 had been blocked by Europe after the invasion, and Nord Stream 1, the other pipeline that was ruptured, the Russians themselves had cut off gas deliveries to try to put pressure on Europe. But it certainly takes out any future slack in the system if we were in a circumstance where gas did begin to flow. And I expect this will drive the prices of natural gas up even further.
Which is alarming to listeners who I'm sure think they pay more than enough in terms of utility costs with winter arriving. As you look at this, even some of Putin's enablers, as you point out in your column, seem to be looking nervous. China, India. Are they coming together? Are we going to see some of these discontented patrons maybe unify and help us enforce sanctions or maybe a little less tolerant?
Well, it's clear the message that Putin got when he met with them 2 weeks ago was to wrap this up. But whether he interpreted that as end it or interpreted that as finish it remains to be seen. And I've heard that Putin's announcement to draft 300,000 Russian young men back into the military was driven much more by the pressure from India and China than from even the pressure on the streets of his own capital.
Yeah. We did pledge yesterday another billion in aid and weapons as well. But those highly effective HIMAR weapons apparently are not going to come from our stockpiles, but could be years in the delivery because we're going to get them from the manufacturers themselves. Is that the best we can do for Ukraine, or is this about safeguarding our own readiness?
Look, Guy, I've been complimentary at times of the Biden administration for the leadership they've shown, but this is one area where I really wish they'd recognized the challenge we were confronting in its full scale. They should have ramped up this production months ago, and it's a real problem. I spoke to one European official who had come to the United States to purchase HIMAR systems for his own military, and he was told he'd had about a 4 or 5 year wait to get his HIMARS delivery. And this is a NATO member. You know, the capacity is in the private sector, and the problem with taking them out of our inventory is we need a certain minimum amount to defend our own interests as well.
Well, you would have, you know, whether it's that or the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, it just seems that, yes, in some ways he has been very aggressive. In other ways, they just seem to be so behind the curve in terms of planning, not just execution.
Exactly. And always just one step behind, unfortunately, even when we do the right thing. We really need to get systems like HIMARS up in production, and there's got to be a way to ramp that up faster. It's just inexcusable that we don't have this very effective weapon available for the Ukrainians to defend themselves.
Well, we will hope that Putin is on his last legs, and we will hope that if he recognizes that he won't do something unthinkable. Steve Biegun, always a pleasure to speak with you. I know you got to get to a class in Ann Arbor. We don't want to keep the learning waiting.
Thanks, Guy. Have a good afternoon.
You too.